Thank you so much for that song, and I think it's very apropos, as I believe it'll go very well with the message. And before I get started, I just want to say once again, church family, thank you so much for the lodging and for the great hospitality you've shown us thus far. We surely love in visiting Jupiter. We were here earlier in the year, and it's definitely a change of pace compared to Miami. And I just want to just briefly mention very quickly, and then we'll get back into our text. You've been a blessing to me, and for those who are hot chocolate connoisseurs, aficionados, I only have three, I only have a few, so this is a special Colombian chocolate that Colombians know about, and in Miami is a lot of Colombians, so I encourage you, there's only a few, so they're on the table, feel free to grab some after the service, and if you don't see any more, that's because they're gone, but if they're there, just grab one, but you know, as we have Christmas season coming, and you're enjoying some good hot chocolate, just think of us, pray for us, and so I encourage you to get one as they're available. But back in Mark chapter 4 in our text, it's a passage of scripture that's been an encouragement to me throughout the years, and there's some gold nuggets that God has shown me that I want to share with you this evening, and it's a wonderful text, and I think God will bless this evening. So back in Mark chapter 4, we see that it starts with the scriptures. It starts with the parables, the word of God. And we see in verse 33, speaking of Jesus, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it." And in verse 34, "But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." And this is speaking of Jesus, as his matter of life was to be with the disciples and to spend time with them and to invest in them and to share the word of God, but not only that, but also to expound them and to explain them. And if our churches in Miami and also this church is going to continue to have success, it's going to be based on the word of God, amen, based on the declaration and the preaching of the word of God. So it all starts with the parables as the word of God, and we know Jesus is the verb. He's the logos. He's the living word. He is the word. And aren't you thankful this evening that you have the word of God in your hands? And not only is it the words of life, but aren't you thankful it's the words for life? It gives us direction. In Proverbs, as it says, that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and it gives us direction and it gives us help, and it's a wonderful thing. But we see here that even though Jesus is spending time with the disciples and spending time in the Word of God, and aren't you thankful that you can do that as well on Sunday and hear the preaching of the Word of God in the morning and also in the evening, but you also can feast on the Word of God on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, every day, because we need that nourishment. Because why? Sometimes problems come to our lives. Sometimes storms come into our life. And as it was mentioned in the song, sometimes we have some raging storms. So Jesus, he's with his disciples, and he says to them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." So it's not really a suggestion. It's more of a command. And the disciples, they obey. They get in the boat, ready to go to the other side. And immediately, there arises a great storm. A great storm of wind. So it's not like they were being disobedient. It wasn't that they were showing lack of faith. No, they were obeying the words of Jesus. And sometimes that can happen to us. And sometimes also it can happen to us where we disobey God, we disobey his will for our life, and a great storm happens. But that's a different message. Sometimes the Christian walk, the Christian life, isn't the easiest one. And sometimes we will have trials, we will have tribulations, not because of our own doing, but sometimes when we're walking with the Lord, sometimes when we're obeying the word. So in verse 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow," speaking of Jesus. "And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish?" Sometimes in our walk, we can be walking with God, and we can do exactly what he wants us to do. We're exactly in the will of God, and problems arise. Problems come. And I'm just like any other, red-blooded human that, man, I don't like problems in my life. I'm allergic to them. You know, I'm allergic to pain. You know, I don't want that. And sometimes we can know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we know that we're a child of God. We know that we belong to the King. And sometimes when we have difficulties come into our life and problems, and I don't want to negate the fact that sometimes we do have problems. But sometimes we start thinking that he's punishing us. But no, no, friend, he's preparing you for something. So it all starts with the Word of God, and we know that we have sometimes problems that come into our life, and sometimes these problems, if you think about it, that sometimes come into our life, and it's not our fault. You know, we're obeying the Lord, and we're walking right with God. That sometimes these problems are bigger than us. But I just want to encourage you, with God, sometimes a problem is no problem. Sometimes a problem is no problem. I think of David when he faced Goliath, that he had a choice. He could have came in the power, in his own power, in his own ability, in the power of the flesh. But no, he came in the power of the Lord, and he had great victory. But if we're not careful, sometimes we can try to resolve a situation, even if it's bigger than us, in our own strength, or sometimes we can come to God with the wrong heart attitude, with the wrong mind. And I encourage you, if you're facing something that's bigger than yourself and it's difficult and you're burdened by it, yes, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm so thankful that through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, that we have access to the throne room of grace in time of help and need, and we should take advantage of that as much as possible. But if we're not careful, sometimes we can go to God and because things aren't working out the way that we think they're working out, and we start questioning God's care for us, just like the disciples. The disciples wake up Jesus, he's sleeping, and it says that he says unto them, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I think of Luke chapter 10 with the story of Mary and Martha, and my kids and my wife, they know that I love that text as well, and there's a lot of things that we can unpack there, but I think of Martha. Jesus comes with his entourage, with his disciples, and she has a big undertaking in front of her to be hospitable as well, and to take care of them, and to get everything ready, and there's a lot of work to be done. So she's doing the right thing, amen? She's not sinning, but her focus on the work of God takes her away from the God of the work. And shortly after, she goes to Jesus, and she sees that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she asks Jesus, Master, carest thou not that my sister hath left me alone? And then it says, bid her that she come back and help me. That word bid doesn't have the idea of like, you know, I like buying some things on eBay, and you know, on an auction, you can place a bid, but it doesn't have that idea. It's more like she's telling, you know, make her. Jesus, don't you see that I'm working here, that I'm toiling? Don't you care about me? Tell her to come back and help me. Man, she's telling Jesus what to do. But if you think about it in that arrangement, who becomes God? And if we're not careful in our situations and our difficulties and even in our crisis, we can come to God, and that's a wonderful thing that we have access to the God that created the universe by speaking into existence. And we can start questioning God's care and telling him what to do. Not only highlight the problem, which we should, but then also provide a solution. No, he's God. And I'm reminded that he doesn't need us. And I'm thankful, he doesn't need us. Amen? Take some pressure off. But God knows that we were formed from the dust, and our frame, it is but dust, and we're just dust. To be a little more crude, we're just dirt. And God doesn't need the dirt. And I think of in the beginning in Genesis when God formed man out of the dust. And what does it say? That he breathed the breath of life into the dust. But if you think about it, and that's a miracle, but what's a greater miracle is the day that you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that God put a portion of himself, the Holy Spirit, into the dust. So we know he doesn't need us, but he invites us to labor with him, and we know that we are his servants, we are his creation, but he's also, the scriptures tells us, he's our co-laborer. Man, he labors with us. He's kind of like our co-worker. He's the best co-worker we can have. He's our boss, but also he's our co-worker. So he knows the things that we go through, and we have access to him. But aren't you thankful that Jesus is on your boat, that he's in your boat, that you have access to the Prince of Peace, to the one that has all power? He is the Prince of Peace who provides peace, and we know that's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. He has all provision. He gives us all protection. And that's who we need to be close to. That's who we need to be close to. He doesn't need us, but we need him. And he knows that we're weak. And in verse 39, it tells us, speaking of Jesus, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Amen. I don't know about you, but like I mentioned this morning, I don't know how to swim. So definitely if I was in this situation, I'd be, maybe lose my cool a little bit and probably wouldn't know what to do. Maybe I would have acted the same way. I don't know. I'd like to think that I'd be more faithful. But man, that's a difficult situation. And I think sometimes I'm gonna pose a question to you here in a second, but I think sometimes we tend to question God's motives because he's not acting the way that we think that he should be acting. Or he's not orchestrating the things that we think he should be doing. And sometimes on a practical level, on a human level, we start questioning people's care for us because they're not doing what we think they should be doing. They're not acting the way that they should be acting. And we see the disciples, even though there were men that were familiar with the sea, that says that they were not only fearful, it says exceedingly fearful. And they thought they were going to die. Started questioning Jesus' care for them. And sometimes that happens too. Like, we can really be going through something. We're like, losing our cool or just, we're not level-headed. And we see somebody that's just, calm, cool, and collected. They're not in their emotions. And we're like, Don't you care about me? Don't you care about what's going on? But last time I checked, it's probably not a good idea for two people, not being calm. And, it's good for somebody just to be level-headed so they can think straight. They can think straight through the storm. So like I mentioned earlier, I'm not going to negate the fact that sometimes things do get difficult. Sometimes we do have storms in our life, and they're bigger than us, and we don't know what God's doing, and sometimes we can even be questioning what God is doing through the midst of the storm, and we're questioning his will, and it's hard because there's rain. Sometimes it could be pouring in our life, and it's hard to have vision and to have clarity, but we just need to be reminded about the promises of God, and he has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. Verse 39, going back to it, Jesus says, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And for those who are Bible students, for those who may be theologians with us this evening, I pose a question for everyone. Do you think the storm came from the enemy, from Satan, or did the storm come from our Almighty God? So just by a show of hands, who thinks it came from God? Okay, I can see why you would think that. Who thinks it came from the enemy, from Satan himself? Okay, I see very few hands. Okay, well, I'm glad you asked because our text tells us. In verse 39, it says, "And he arose," and who's he? Jesus, right? And it says, "And rebuked the wind." So there's our clue. Last time I checked, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's God the Son, amen? So he's not going to go against the work of God. He's definitely not going to rebuke the work of God. So it came from the enemy. It came from Satan. And in God's providence and his sovereignty, it's amazing that he would allow the disciples to go through something that really shook them to their core and thought it made them think that they were going to lose their lives on this trip because there was a plan for the benefit of the prisoners. So we know it all starts with the parables, with the word of God in our text. And sometimes problems do occur in our lives, but aren't you thankful that you have the Prince of Peace, the one who has all power and provides protection and peace and gives us all provision? And it's because there's a plan. There's a plan, friend, for you and I. There's a plan to reach the prisoners. You might be asking, Brother Lewis, who are these prisoners that you're mentioning? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you can, look at your text in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And this is where we need to have faith, because a lot of times we don't know what God is trying to do, and we definitely question his care for us when difficulties arise that aren't lined up with what we think should be happening in our lives and how God should be using us. But there's a purpose. There's a plan. It's to reach the prisoners. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And they came over." So what Jesus said happened. Amen? It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." It says in verse 3, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." So how would you like them apples? You're on a boat. You go through a great storm. You don't know if you're going to make it. Praise the Lord. What Jesus says comes to fruition. It happens. They get to the other side. Whew, we're safe. And then immediately they're met with a man that has a demon. A demon-possessed man. And then in verse 7, it says, "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? And I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him," speaking of Jesus, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And then in verse 15, it says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." So that was the plan. That God in his sovereignty, even though Satan would try to hinder, really destroy, attempt to destroy them to get to this prisoner. Because this prisoner needed a divine appointment with Jesus, the one that could transform him, change him, help him. Because it says that no man could tame him. No man could help him. Now, aren't you thankful for the day that someone shared Christ with you? I remember I was a prisoner before I came to the Lord. I was a prisoner to my emotions. I was a prisoner to my depression. And somebody had compassion on me, invited me to a Bible study, and then somebody else had compassion on me to share the gospel. And you were a prisoner before you came to Christ. Aren't you thankful for that person that shared the gospel with you? And who knows if they had a great storm in their life that day, but they showed compassion. They didn't let a temporary situation hinder them from doing what they were supposed to be doing. So I encourage you, church family, I don't know what you're going through. I don't need to, but he knows. And if we're not careful, sometimes we can spend time with God, which we should, but we spend so much time telling God how big our problem is instead of telling our storm how big our God is, amen? The one who spoke the world into existence. And it says, "My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth," amen? So we know that there's prisoners to reach. There's prisoners to reach in Miami. There's prisoners to reach in Florida. There's prisoners to reach in your backyard and here in Jupiter and West Palm and Fort Pierce. And earlier today, I drove on Center Street, and I was like, oh, man, there's some prisoners to reach. Man, they need some help. They're bound to their sin. They have chains. And sometimes we have people in our life that are bound to maybe to alcohol, to the chain of alcohol, or to the chain of anger or wrath, to their emotions. Or maybe the chain of looking at inappropriate things on the internet or on TV. Or sometimes they're bound just to some more practical things like their cell phone. Amen? Or social media, Facebook. But aren't you thankful for the one that can liberate, that can provide freedom, can provide eternal life and life abundantly? That's our Jesus, amen? And I'm telling you, it's hard sometimes. It's hard to see what God is trying to do and for us to be faithful and for us just to stay the course when it's raining and it's windy and it's being boisterous. We don't see the plan. We don't see the peace that God can provide. We don't see the prisoners at times because we're so focused on the storm. I remember in 2019, I had the privilege of going on a mission trip to Honduras right before the pandemic. And it was really well organized. There was a team that would go to Honduras. That it was like they would do medical missions, a medical team. Then, who would follow up after them would be the team to evangelize, which I was a part of. And then afterwards, there'd be a discipleship team. And I remember we had a great time. We saw a lot of souls come to Christ, and it was a blessing. And it was a huge blessing. And I remember when I got back, I had to go back to work, and I had an appointment that morning. And I was on cloud nine, and it was just a wonderful trip that I really enjoyed to be a part of. And I remember when I got back, my wife and my kids, for some reason, they had to leave pretty early in the morning, so I was by myself. And then I had to go to an appointment for work. One of my responsibilities was to go to different homes. So that morning, I had a home appointment, and as I was reversing the vehicle, I can tell on the brakes that there was no pressure, like air pressure. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, this is not good. I'm not mechanically inclined. I'm not good with motors, but I had enough sense that, to know that wasn't good. So I put it on park, and, the Lord led me to just check the brake fluid, and it was empty. It was very strange. And, I wish I can tell you that I was thinking, okay, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I know God's going to do something through this situation. But no, I was pretty down. I was like, man, I was thinking to myself, why, God? Why is this happening? I went to a mission trip, and, I'm your child. Why is this happening to me? I was having like a pity party. And then I had to think pretty quickly, and I didn't want to be late to my appointment. So I was like, oh, maybe I can just call an Uber to take me to the auto parts store, and I can just maybe buy some brake fluid, and maybe that'll be the fix. So my Uber comes, and as I'm sitting there in the car, and this man is telling me that he drove from like 50 minutes away, I was like, okay, so this is why this is happening, for me to speak to this man, to share the gospel with him. Because if you think about it, a lot of times when we're living our daily lives and going through our daily routine, that unless something occurs, we're not really going to be in certain places or in certain situations in front of certain people. And the Bible tells us that God rules in the kingdom of men. So he orchestrates for us to be around certain people. So I was like, okay, this is what God's doing in my life. This is what God wants me to do to share the gospel. But a lot of times I think we miss opportunities. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. Instead of being spirit-led and spirit-filled and excited what God is doing and seeing the opportunities, and as the prayer earlier that we would see people as God sees them, man, we miss a lot of opportunities by being in the flesh and just by having our pity parties, thinking it's all about us. No, but it's all about him, amen? So the point is, yeah, we got to reach the prisoners. We got some work to do. And isn't it interesting that Jesus comes to evangelize this man that had an unclean spirit, a demon, and then he becomes the evangelist? If you look back in our text, in verse 18, chapter 5, verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And this is the end result. And all men did marvel. And all men did marvel. Something that really jumped out of the pages to me was in verse 19 when it says, go home to thy friends. In Spanish, it says, vete a tu casa. So, yeah, go to your home. A los tuyos. A los tuyos means to those who pertain to you, those who belong to you, those in your sphere of influence, to thy friends. And, yeah, we got to reach our coworkers. We got to reach our friends, our family members. And I know sometimes that, man, that they can be hard-headed. They can be stubborn. They can be, knuckleheads. But we need to reach them. Because they belong to you. Those are your friends. Those who pertain to you don't pertain to me. I can't reach them. And the ones that I can reach, you can't. Because they're yours. They're yours to reach. We can collaborate and we can work together. And that's why the church needs the missionary. But also the missionary needs the church, because it's a team effort. We need to be praying one for another. And we need to be all doing our part. So just encourage you this evening, man, aren't you thankful you have the Word of God that gives us clarity, that gives us direction, reminds us of the promises of God? And we need to remind ourselves that when we do have problems in our life, even when we don't have sin, when we're not in error, that he's not punishing you. No, he's preparing you for something. Because sometimes there's problems. And it's because there's a plan to reach the prisoners. And you might say, Brother Lewis, I appreciate the message this evening, but I don't have any problems. Everything's good on my front. Well, let me be the first to congratulate you. You're actually in the best position to help somebody that might be going through a great storm. Because, you know, sometimes I think it can be easy for us just to, because it says there was other little ships with him, just for us to kind of be spectators and grab some popcorn and just kind of see what else is going on and sometimes do nothing and miss another opportunity. I mentioned this morning that I've been a chaplain, and I've come to learn that everybody has problems. Everybody. In different levels, different flavors, and sometimes we're pretty good at hiding our problems. So I encourage you, if you don't have anything going on, to be a blessing. Help your brother and sister in Christ. Pray to God to give you opportunity. Be a blessing to your church. Be a blessing to your pastor. Because you might not be going through something, but you might in the future. So I just want to end with this as we land the plane this evening. Just keep on keeping on. Dig a little deeper when it comes to this area of missions. And for the believer, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that this place that we call earth, man, it's the closest we're ever going to get to hell, amen? But for the unbeliever, for the prisoner, and they don't always have to be a prisoner, they can find freedom in Jesus. But if they never put their faith and trust in Jesus, this place that we call earth is the closest they're ever going to get to heaven. So we got some work to be done, amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for how you spoke to us this evening, God. And I don't know how you spoke to the hearts, but we know that you spoke through your word. So, Father, this week, as we face maybe different challenges, maybe different trials or problems, God, but help us to meditate on these things that we heard this evening, Father. Help us to always have a heart that's full of compassion, Lord, to see the prisoners, to share a word of compassion, to share the gospel, to share Jesus, the one that can solve problems, the one who has all protection, who has all provision, who provides peace. And Father, help us to see prisoners. Help us to see them in our neighborhoods. Help us to see them in our communities. And Father, help us to see the plan and to be a part of it. Lord, thank you for what you're doing here at Beacon Baptist Church, Lord, and thank you for their heart for missions. And we love you, God. Thank you for being so good to us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.